PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Josh Taughey of Titleist fame. I think you all know him at this point. We love having him on the show. JT, it's great to have you back, buddy.
Danimal, I love being on. It's so good to see you, especially because we're coming off a fresh THP trip. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Great show you guys put on over there at the Dormy Club. I always get it wrong. Dormy Network, Dormy Club. Great property down there in Pinehurst. I've heard you're a fan of the area.
I absolutely love Pinehurst. I think it's such a neat place to go. And as we've talked many times, I love golf. So any location that is all about golf and that has multiple options. So you've got all these great courses at Pinehurst. I had a chance to go a little bit early and play Pinehurst number 10. And I would say that anyone who's listening that's got Pinehurst plans coming up in the next year or two, if you're not thinking of including number 10, rethink that plan. Put number 10 on your list. You got to go play it. Obviously, we've talked about the mid pines, pine needles, southern pines, that trifecta. They're so good. And then you throw in Dormy Club is fantastic. So I love the whole area. It was really fun to see everybody. And man, I witnessed some terrific golf from the THPers and some amazing driver usage from the group that we brought with.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking it's been a couple of years since I've been to Dormy Club, but I feel like, just as memory serves, it's a really functional property to showcase not only drivers but also fairways. Like it's a long game off the tee showcasing place. Does that make a lot of sense?
I think it's a wonderful golf course for everything. It's a very fair golf course. I would never describe it as easy, but it does get in your head a little bit where you've got to think through some of the holes. There's times where you can be ultra aggressive and try to cut a corner, and that's going to lead to a really short club coming in. Or you take the smart conservative path and kind of go straight, and then your second shot in is going to require a little bit more effort and work. And then there's some short par fours and some really long par fours or really long par fives. And so there are those opportunities where you can hit a great drive. I remember we had some people in our group that hit over 300 yard drives on a par five that then were still looking at over 300 yards in on their second shot. Right. And so you're just like, wow, this is a big piece of property, and allowed us to showcase kind of what GTS is all about. But if I might, Dan, I want to give you one quick story. I was fortunate to go out our first group. We had ESG 777, Space City, and Lord Tox, and I were the first group out. And this group went on a pace, which, you know, I like to play fast golf. We were motoring, and we get to like the sixth or seventh hole. And I look back and I was like, man, that Dormy starts with a lot of par fours. And I started doing the math with the team. And I was like, guys, I think we just hit 23 out of 24 fairways combined. And I was like, do you guys always hit it this well? And to a person, every player has just got this huge smile on their face. And they're just like, I've never hit driver this well. They're like, really? I'm so excited. This fitting went so well. I remember watching Space City cut the corner on like the fourth or fifth hole. And I was like, I never even looked at that. I was like, that's just dangerous all the way. And he was like, I would have never in a million years gone that direction. But I felt so confident after the first few holes with this driver. He's like, everything's just been on a string. I'm just going to aim right there and let it fall left. He's like, why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah.
And what I saw that all day.
What I like about that area is there are plenty of holes where you are certainly punished when you are offline, but a lot of times you can still find your ball. It's not like, yes. I'm thinking of, it's going to kill me, I can't remember. The one of the first three to four holes, there's a shorter par four that goes down and then way up. And then I think the clubhouse is behind off to the left of it. And I mean, it just, it's Dormy saying, do it, hit driver, see what happens, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, like, even if you spray it, you still can go and find it. You might have to chip out or fight through some of the elements, but you'll still get to your ball. So it's an incredibly encouraging place to hit longer clubs. And I think that's part of the fun of the property. A bit of the charm in there is like, hey, yeah, do it. I dare you.
I thought it was so interesting to watch the combination of the golf course plus the crew that we had with. Mm. Right? I'm thinking of our guy Shendi, who hit driver so stinking good for three straight days. I had a chance to play with him twice, and I could see him in the group right behind us. And just watching him hit it, and he had this look on his face, and he kept talking and telling us how he was going to go back to his club and all the guys were going to be owning money because he was going to be winning all these golf matches that he plays. And he was so pumped about it. And that was really the big takeaway from this crew, is everyone had this kind of zeal and joy to them watching him hit driver. And it sure was fun to be part of it. It proves that everyone had gone and gotten fit for these mm-hmm. products, and that brought them out. And the driver delivered exactly what they saw in their fittings. And the level of confidence just skyrocketed over the couple of days when we were together.
So that's a really big part of the title of story. It's something that I've experienced personally. The level of attention that goes into a fitting, explanation, what the product's doing, why it might suit you, challenging with different products from the same the lineup. There's a real care and attention that goes on in a Titleist fitting that I think seems to really resonate with what the company's trying to accomplish on that side of things. Am I on the right track with what your goal is from a fitting perspective?
I almost think of it as just in general perspective. And this isn't to pick on any of our competitors, but when I think about what we're trying to do as a brand, it's we want to make you better. We want to help you play your absolute best golf. That's what Chuck Golden and our R&D team are focused on. That's what Rob Rigg and our fit crew are focused on. We actually, our fitters that are out in the field, their slogan is changing golfers' lives. They're like, that's our mission. We're gonna change your golfing life. Mm. And I love that the passion that they bring in that. And you really can. Like, these products are great. If you go into a shop and you buy one off the rack, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love GTS. But if you take the time and go spend an hour with a really good fitter, they are going to unlock performance that you probably didn't know you had in you. That performance might be distance. It might be really tight dispersion. It might be, you know, taking away a big miss. It could be a combination of all of those things. But I promise you that exists. And when we talk about, you know, the fit crew says we're changing golfers' lives, that's what they mean by that. Because as a golfer, you can't leave that and not feel just energized and excited. And we've got something really special in GTS. You know, everyone's heard the tour stories and adoptions and all that fun stuff. And we are, we're doing great there. But what's more exciting for me, I mentioned that I got to Pinehurst a little early. I had literally dozens of people come up to me, and because they saw my head cover, and they're like, hey, you got that new Titleist GTS driver. Is that thing as good as I'm hearing? Everyone's talking about it. And they didn't know that I worked for Titleist. They just saw it in my bag. And it's, again, Pinehurst community is unique in that there are golfers everywhere, mm-hmm. right? But it was fun to see that level of kind of like excitement and buzz.
Yeah, that's great. And we've definitely covered and talked about the driver, but what I think we haven't had a big chance to do is talk about fairways. And I would be very unsettled if I didn't get the crew listening in to at least hear you talk a little bit about the shift in profile. I think there's some pretty visual changes that occurred that I think work really well for a variety of golfer types. So you've mentioned how much and how excited you are about GTS, and certainly material is a storyline. Certainly the amount of material going in certain places is a storyline, but I mean, there's always more to it than that. And I'd love to get your perspective on Fairwoods, where the shaping came from. What was the catalyst in that?
Yeah, we've got a couple of good stories on fairways specific to the shaping. The first was understanding who are the different golfers that are going to hit this. And not everybody swings fairways the same way. And we looked at our lineup, and we're fortunate that we have three different head shapes. We've got a GT1, GTS2, and GTS3. And we're like, all right, well, let's take advantage of this. They don't all need to do the same things or look the same. So we've kind of pulled them apart a little bit. And what you'll notice, listeners, is I'm going to start GTS3. I'm going to go deepest face first. GTS3 has a deeper face. It has a taller face profile on there. This is for the player who likes to hit down on it. They like to hit it off the tee as much as they do the turf. And very, just a terrific, forgiving, easy to launch fairway wood if you're a little steeper on it. Then you kind of go into the two. You'll notice next to each other, you will see the profile shape is very different. You're now looking at much shallower face. This is for the person who just likes to sweep it. That very smooth, I can feel the turf, but I'm not getting down into the turf fairway delivery. And it's an all around just monster. Interesting enough, I mentioned the GTS2 and GTS3 because they are so different in profile. We actually made seven woods in both this year. So you can get three woods, four woods, five woods, and seven woods in both of those shapes because they are different. That profile is different. And then GT1 continues to be, if you're a player who really struggles with height on a fairway wood, man, GT1 is kind of the easy button for us. It gives us an opportunity to put weight forward and back. Two and three have adjustable weighting toe and heel, really spreads the inertia, makes us such a forgiving, easy to launch product. And then we lowered the CGs in both. So we've never had fairways that go as high. And then the second story, Dan, if I may,
You may, yeah,
time?
definitely.
Okay, great. This one's kind of fun. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, JJ Van Wiesenbeck, who heads up our tour team, he and Tom Bennett, who is our principal engineer on fairway woods. Tom has just recently retired. Tom holds the record for number of patents in our metalwoods team for his career. Just an illustrious career, awesome guy. And but the two of them come to my office and they put a fairway wood down on my desk. And they're like, "What do you think of this?" And I thought they were just like looking for shape. And I was like, "Oh, I love the shape. I like how this tucks in here." And we're going through that. And they're like, "No, dummy, what do you think about the face?" And I look at the face and it's bright silver.
Yeah.
And I was like, it looks like 2005. What's the deal?" I was 100% not excited about it. And they're both like grinning. They're all excited. And JJ's like, "Put it in the playing position." And he grabs me a shaft. And so I gotta put it down. And he's like, "What do you see?" And I was like, "I see silver face. I don't really like it." And he's like, "Well, do you see more loft?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do." Because I grabbed a stock head with the black PVD face, put it right next to it. I'm like, "Yeah, you see way more loft." And again, they're very excited about this. And they're like, "What do you think would happen? What do you think you would do if you saw more loft?" And I was like, "I don't know. You tell me." And they're like, "We think that you're gonna like cover it better. You're gonna come down and swing down on it," which is the number one issue for almost all players, including tour pros, is they don't hit down on fairways enough. They just tend to, a lot of them think about like something happens subconsciously, we're trying to hit up on it. And so I was like, "All right, well, go test it, guys." And of course, they were right. So we started testing with tour players, and we found on average they're about a degree and a half steeper with silver face from a swing perspective than they were with black. And then we went and tested it with AMs, and it was higher. It jumped up to like, 2.5 degrees steeper. And we were like, "Oh my gosh, is part of the secret sauce of this launch is that people are just finding the center of the face more often with these fairways." And I thought that was such a unique and interesting way because, as you mentioned, the fairway woods are loaded with technology. We've got different crown materials. We've got these unique face designs, all this stuff, engineered movable weight technology, all of it to give us great performance. But sure enough, just the color of the face and this idea of can we show you more loft to get you to cover it a little bit more to drive the type of performance you're looking for is pretty neat. And so kudos to JJ and Tom. It's worked great. And then, and obviously, you know, the forum, people have really sprung to this idea of, wow, this looks cool, which was probably my biggest hang up at the beginning. Was I was just like, it looks old. It didn't look cool to me, but not only now does it really work. Is there a reason to have it? But it's also been, you know, beloved quickly by the community.
So it's interesting you say that, and we're talking head to head, same loft, same everything. But I've gone in a fitting before. It was actually a Titleist fitting, and we spent time with Dynamic Loft, and it was impossible to comprehend at the time. But it's exactly what you're saying now. The more loft I saw, the more down I would hit on a driver. So we had to stay in a certain realm because my head would look at the face of the driver. And the more loft that I was seeing, so let's say we lofted up to 10.5 or 11.5, I would subconsciously hit more down on it. My dynamic loft would change more and more the higher loft we go, because somewhere in there said, well, it's too much face. You got to hit down on this thing. So like fundamentally, you're telling me the story about changing colors. And I'm thinking like that a lot of people are going to listen to this and say, yeah, right. There's no way. To your defense.
Yeah, I was skeptic number one right here.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so interesting about it, is just like, instead of saying, you know, because it is possible, you know, for the marketing team to be like, no, we're not doing that. It doesn't look cool. Mm. You know, it doesn't look as premium or anything like that. We're like, no, let's go find out. Let's test this, see if there's something to this idea. And then, you know, sure enough, it was more than just something. It really works.
So to kind of go full circle on the fact that I learned that about myself in a different way is pretty funny. So I'm sitting here going, yeah, it's true. Yeah. As you're going through the story, what I think is interesting and sort of an unclear, non-stated benefit to it is they tend to look better longer with an unfitted clear face. You know, we've all had that moment where we've had the black finish fully wrapped the club head. And the second you hit a sandy golf ball with it, that mark's there for forever. And there's not really much you can do. It doesn't matter how good the finish is. It doesn't matter how deep the finish goes. That's just a natural reality of putting sand in between your ball and the golf club. So the fact that your clubs will look better longer is also a pretty critical piece of that. Might not be like the most critical, but it certainly benefits people to have that sort of profile there.
Dan, in your fitting, were you fit into a GTS 2 or a 3? If I was to guess, I think I'd go 3.
Into the fairway wood?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It was 3 pretty much all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which totally makes sense given how well you hit things like utility irons. Right. Like you're that player, you know, a really good compact descending blow. And it's like, yeah, hand this guy a GTS 3. He's going to see a little bit more face. It's going to encourage him to get down on it. And to your point, it's also going to look really forgiving, because you're going to be like, there's a lot of face there. Like there's a lot of forgiveness for me to go, even at like the 3 wood length, when you're talking about 43 inch long club.
And part of what's always worked for me is I've always preferred a 3 wood that has a lot less loft, because it actually makes me do the opposite. I feel like it allows me to present better. But I also have had launch issues in the past where I hit it too high. So getting that lower launch, getting the combination with a good low spin shaft is exactly where I want to be. So it was amazing to me during the fitting how comfortable I was with GTS2. But also how quickly I learned that like GTS 3 was just my blueprint. It's just, you know, I've had the privilege of playing Titleist fairways, I think all the way back to like 902, like way back in the day when you were 903 or 906. And like there was a lot of good stuff back in the day that has just sort of continued for me. And that's why I'm so stuck on the shape, because it has that like really beautiful balance from heel to toe, where I look at it, I'm like, man, that is so comfortable at address. It almost like it's resting on the grass. You know, it's like there's no shaping that's going to force it above it. I don't have to worry about a balance point between the center of the head and the heel and the toe. the confidence just looking at that shape for me, it was a huge telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, different horses or different products for different players.
Yeah.
There's so many players that could look at the three and just be like, I don't know what to do with this. Versus they're going to look at the two and be like, this looks so easy to launch.
So when it comes to you, what do you like? What do you fit into?
Well, it's actually kind of a fun segue. I go mini driver. I am not a very good three wood player. And so I look at it, I'm like, I'm going to hit this thing off the tee way more than I am off the turf. And when I need it off the turf, fine. I'm just going to smash this thing into the ground and let it go. And so I go mini driver.
Okay.
Then I skip down to a GT1 hybrid that actually kind of looks like a mini fairway wood that I kind of play as like a six wood.
The most interesting man in golf sometimes, right?
but again, it's strictly off of going through a fitting and looking at all the options of, all right, this is the gap I'm trying to mm-hmm. find. And what is the best tool that will help me fit that? And in this case, it just happens to be this GT1, hybrid, kind of a stronger hybrid. And in that footprint, we made them kind of look, we were always joking that they're kind of like a highway. It's like half hybrid, half fairway. And I use a fairway shaft in it, in fact. And so I consider it like my kind of like six wood or five wood.
Mm. Yeah. We've talked on the show about my challenges, with three woods, with any sort of woods, with, hybrids. There's the very known and wonderful history with, long irons that have worked incredibly well for me, utility irons. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, dude, I haven't had the confidence with a three wood that I have this year in a very long time. And it's super fun to incorporate that in there. So that's been a big part of it. I'm even conversating on hybrids again. It's a special time for me, to be quite honest.
Jeez.
but we need
to know you.
It's a whole new, whole different me. You gotta come check it out sometime. But the goal of this show, other than to celebrate the high fairways, which we didn't have a ton of time for last time you were on, was talk about a new product you guys have coming out, which is the mini driver that you've quickly teased for us. So we have to dive deep into that. What's going on?
So mini driver, by the time this pod airs, we will have kind of announced that the mini driver is available. It'll be in shops July 23rd, but when you hear this pod, fitting tools are out there. You can go get fit for mini driver anywhere that you'd get a Titleist fitting. Just visit Titleist.com and we got a full list of that. But what's cool about this mini driver, so this is called GTS 300. And if you remember, our last generation of mini driver was GT 280.
280, yeah.
Hopefully, you're like, all right, 300 is bigger than 280. And we named the old one 280 because it was 280 cc's. This one technically is 305 cc's, but 300 sounded cooler than 305 in the world. But what's new about it is we've increased the inertia. It's up 15 to 20% because we wanted to make this thing continue to be a little more forgiving. We wanted to go a little bit deeper with the CG, and we want to just kind of add a little bit more roundness to the shape. And so we've done that. I've got it right here, and you can kind of see it on screen. What we have not changed, face height is still the exact same as GT 280. We're really good with that, and we really like this idea of this kind of leading edge to be more fairway-like. A little flatter, more level than you would get from certainly a driver where you're going to kind of see like a U shape. And I think it's some of the other mini drivers out there. They just take the driver and literally just to scale, shrink it down. We're like, no, we kind of want more of a sole of a fairway wood, but the face height and a little bit more of the MOI of a traditional driver. And so that's how you kind of Frankenstein those things together. Composite crown with this sounds amazing. We've done a really good job tuning the sound of this. And then you've got, again, movable weights fore and aft. So we tend to take the heavier weight and put it in the rear, but you can flip these two. And then certainly through a fitting, we can adjust these weights and figure out what's the right ratio for you, because we go in these 2 gram increments all the way up to 6 grams heavier than standard and 6 grams lighter. So there's just so many fitting opportunities. As far as where's performance come from, the speed, the easy launch, kind of a cool L-face cup technology that's in here. Again, any product, especially fairway wood and anything like a mini driver, you want to protect that low face hits, because when you're hitting it off the turf, boy, there's a lot of face to get to. How do we help you get up in here versus down here? We're still using ATI 425, that cool space age material. We think it's the best titanium out there. We love it. Let's see what else I'm saying. Oh, it's it comes in one loft, 13 degrees, but you can put it in your loft sleeve. You can throw fairway woods in here, and it ends up being about, if you took your standard 3 wood, which is a 43 inch shaft, you put it in here, the hosel is a little bit longer, so now it'll play at 43.5, but that's how it's designed to play.
You mentioned
that's a scoop on mini driver.
Yeah, that's not a scoop. That's a bag full, my friend. That's great. You mentioned L face. I assume the understanding there is that the chance of missing lower on the face is a little bit higher than missing high on the face. So you want that that ball speed continuation as much as you can, as low as you get on the face.
Yeah, that's the whole in the fairway woods and in mini driver. That's where the misses are going to be. Is people are going to get a little lower on the face. Now, we talked on fairway woods, we go silver face. We don't do that on a mini driver because, again, you're looking at a lot of surface material, and we think the majority of shots are actually going to be off a tee with mini driver. You know, people ask me all the time, like, who's it for? And it's kind of for people, a couple things. One, turns out you don't have to just have 14 clubs. You can own more than 14 golf clubs, swap them in when you want to. Certainly our tour pros do that all the time. You know, this week we're looking at, you know, the tour is in the UK, right? First they're doing the Scottish, mm-hmm. and then they'll be at the Open Championship. And trust me, those players are traveling with a lot more than 14 clubs, because you'll see some 2 irons and 3 irons go in. You're going to see plenty of mini drivers going in, because it's a different style of golf and different golf course. I think who's this for? It's for anyone who hits 3 wood off the tee more than they hit it off the turf. It's a blast. I think it's also pretty darn easy to hit off the turf.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You mentioned
this is coming as a person who I would describe myself as not a great fairway wood player.
Okay.
It would be easily the weakest part of my bag in my game.
So mini driver is still fairly new, I feel like, in the golf story. I think there's been a level of what is it and how should it be? What should it be closer to? And who is it geared towards? That seems to be the common question each time a new one comes out, regardless of the company. You made subtle changes this time around from a size perspective. You've gone more to the driver side based on the CC size. Is that a learning curve from 280? Is that just something that you feel like was necessary? What causes you to go in that direction as opposed to a little bit closer to a fairway wood?
For us, 100% driven by feedback from players. I know that sounds like a broken record every time I'm on here, where I'm like, oh, we're so fortunate at Titleist to work with so many of the best players in the world. But it's real. We see players at all levels of competitive golf on a weekly basis. And players like Cameron Young, players like Justin Thomas, were really instrumental in the development of this, where they were early adopters on GT280. And they're like, hey, I really like this. Here's how I would tweak it and make it better. And so we take that feedback and then we go through our process of testing. Where do we want to go with this? Who is this for? How does this delight golfers? And that leads us to the space that we're in. But like I said, the player who is going to benefit from mini driver, they're going to hit it off the tee more than they hit it off the turf. You know, I wouldn't describe this as a 50-50 club. I'd say it's, you know, 75-25 off the tee versus off the turf. But I think about just the playing companions that I know that hit this thing off the turf. And it's amazing to watch them, you know, rip this thing. I was in the Pinehurst area. My single best shot was, I had two of them. I had one mini driver off the tee and one mini driver off the turf. that for that week, I was like, those are the two shots that I remember more than anything else. Hmm. Because one set an eagle opportunity on a par five that I didn't think I had any chance to get to the green. And another was a short par four where it was like, all right, let's go full send on mini driver, because I'm actually nervous that driver might be too much. And it was real danger deep of the pin.
Okay. So tour feedback is a curious one, because I'm always interested. You mentioned they're discussing it. I assume it gets a fair bit of play out there, but it comes in at certain very unique times. Is that a similar thing to where you might see a lot of your guys in utility irons this week, whereas, you know, when it gets softer, slightly different, or slightly shapier on a golf course, now we're looking at something more unique, like a mini driver or, you know, a higher lofted fairway wood. Is that getting a fair bit of play out there?
Absolutely. All of the ones you mentioned are getting a fair bit of play out there because how course dependent setups are. And what's interesting is I would say the mini driver is less dependent than like two iron, right? Like we're going to see a bunch. We just talked about the conditions in the UK. It's been warm. It's going to be really firm. It's going to be windy. So tour iron is going to be a big thing the next couple of weeks. That's not going to translate as we get into the FedEx Cup playoffs, whereas mini driver could be a big thing at both of those places. Mm-hmm. Because we're seeing players that are just like, hey, I want something less than driver that's still really easy to hit off the tee. And I want to be able to shape stuff the way I want. And in many cases, we saw this with Cameron Young, where he would set up driver to be easy to hit his standard cut with. And then you go mini driver, I want to be able to hit big slinging hooks with it.
So that was going to be a question I had, because driver, in a lot of cases, we've talked about this, we were not looking for a one to shape. We're looking for the one that has one shape and you can have full faith that it's going to do that every time. Sounds like nice little butter cut seems to be the popular option out there. But then when you move into a fairway wood, the idea is, well, this allows me to work the ball. So maybe the conversation for them is more like, I can control this head a little bit better. Now I can really bring it around. They live a world that we don't fully comprehend, JT. I'd like to pretend like I know how to do all that stuff, but it just kind of happens on a whim. So,
but I think what's interesting, Dan, had you gone to your fitting and said, I need you to build me this club to start on my target line and move left aggressively, they would do that,
mm-hmm.
right? Our fitters can do that, or vice versa. If you're like, I want to start on my line and I want it to move right, how do we do that? They would work. And that's the magic of these fairways, and certainly the mini driver, is this movable weight technology unlocks a lot of capability. And then that's not to even mention the SureFit hosel, where we have independent loft and lie settings. So we can really help you find center face more often and then get the ball traveling the direction you want.
Is there anything else? There's one thing I really want to talk to you about when it comes to, as it relates to irons, but is there anything else about mini that people need to know about?
It's really fun. And I would encourage anyone that's ever kind of struggled with three wood, or that finds themselves hitting three wood off the tee a decent amount, give it a shot. It might be right for you. It might not be, but I can promise you, if you go see a fitter, they're going to find out what is best for you at that top end of your bag.
Yeah. It's the fitting aspect again. I mean, Titleist pretty clearly is a big fan of that, which is great. I strongly encourage it.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too. It's fun. It's fun to go get fit. Like, anyone who's listening is like, hey man, I don't have time for that, or I don't really want to do that. I can promise you, you're going to hit it better. You're going to play better golf. While you're there, you're going to learn stuff. You know, Dan, you and I talk about this all the time. We go through tons of fittings. There's never been a fitting that I've done where I haven't learned some new things that I'm just excited about afterwards, as kind of a golf junkie. Doesn't mean that I'm not nervous. Gosh, most of the time, especially if I don't know the fitter, I have first tee jitters way worse in front of a fitter than I do on the first tee.
Hmm.
But I always feel like I just keep reminding myself, I'm going to learn a lot of things. And the other one is, like, whoever's fitting me has seen way worse. And I would say that for anyone listening, like, our team is there to help you play your best. So give a shot. It's fun.
The one thing I really wanted to talk about today, other than Mini, is that you guys just dropped a spectacular finish on the T-Series Irons. And I know we've talked about them on the show. I know we've celebrated them a lot. I know you're a fan. I'm certainly a fan. I think the 150s are one of the most complete iron sets ever created, certainly Titleist has ever created. What's the deal with bringing the dark finish out? Is it just to say, hey, we're still here kicking butt, try it in a little bit of different way? Or where does that stem from?
It stems from a few things. Number one, thank you for the kind words on T-Series. We're really happy with what we've got, whether it's T350, T250, 150, or 100. As we've talked at length, blended sets is the way to go there. And we just want to keep it in the conversation. And our team is always working on what's a cool finish. And they had this black vapor finish. It looks awesome. We've got a number of tour players playing it. And frankly, we're just kind of tired of reading in the comments, like, how come the tour pros can get this and we can't? They're like, let's just do something. So we didn't make a bunch. They're not going to be around that long. We made, you know, a limited amount of sets. They're available now. And actually what's interesting about this one is we also have a black vapor wedge. So we've got limited edition wedge, and the wedge, not only is it black vapor, this cool finish, but it's got flight lines on there. And if you haven't had a chance to use a wedge with flight lines or even understand what flight lines are, it's just this really neat, very simple system of, hey, am I opening the face too much? Not enough? Like, how do I hit a flop shot? How do I hit a standard shot? And how do I hit kind of a bump and run setup? And flight lines is the absolute easy button to do that. And so I'm really excited that we've got that incorporated into this neat black vapor finish on wedges. So a couple cool, these little limiteds that we do, but really it's mostly just on the Vokey front showcase. Here's this neat flight lines thing that we have, because again, we want you to help you be able to play better golf, get those wedge shots closer to your target. Let's go make some birdies.
Now, are you playing these stunning irons in your bag?
I've got a little bit of everything. So I've got oil can irons right now, and then I do have black vapor in my utility iron.
Okay.
And man, does that look mean? It looks really cool. And then I have one of each of the finishes of Vokey, partly because I like to be able to show people when they're playing with me, like, oh, you know, what you know, do you have SM11s? You know, and you're just like, oh yeah, right here. Check out, and to be able to showcase all the finishes we have. So I've got our tour chrome, our jet black, our really cool nickel, and then I also have a raw wedge, just so people can see the differences.
Do does the iron team ever get a little bit jealous on how much fun the Vokey team gets to have with finishes? Like, what about me kind of isms?
I think what's really cool is they actually sit right next to each other.
Do they?
And for a while, you're right, that there was a little bit of the, like, well, these guys have all these cool things. This was like, well, guess what, team? You could kind of talk to each other and let's put these all out together and try to figure out what are cool finishes that work on a wedge. Could it work on iron, vice versa? And let's find, because at the end of the day, it starts with, not only do we want to look cool, but it's got to be durable. Especially when you're talking about a wedge, right? And so if we can find finishes that not only look great, but are really durable, that's a happy place for us. And so we have some cool ones. We have some really neat ones actually mapped out for future use too. So stay tuned, but it won't be soon. But maybe sometime next year-ish, we've got some cool ideas.
In the not so distant future, I love that. Well, I think the great part about having alternate colors and irons, I mean, I'm just looking to my left here at a picture of all four of them side by side. Our good buddy Malcolm sent it over to get a little visual on. And it's just, like you immediately want to ask, what in the world is that? And can I hit it? And I think that's fun. Like, I think having something like that that stands out, you know, an iron, when you think about it traditionally, is that satin or chrome profile that everyone knows pretty well. And it's like, once you see it slightly different, you immediately have to know. So what a cool way to keep the conversation going on a product exactly. that can stand on its own for sure. But I mean, why not, you know, change it up a little bit from a visual perspective?
Well, if you think about it, it's such a visual sport, right? Because not only are you constantly looking at your bag as you're grabbing your next iron out of it, but so are the people you're playing with.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes equate it to like men's watches. Think of the number of people you know that own more than one watch, and not everybody's watch is just stainless steel, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see whether it's, you know, black bezels, or, you know, or faces of different watches. Shoot, even Apple has got different colors on their watches. So everything is about how do you have a little bit of personal expression.
Cool. Yeah. I actually have an experience. We're sort of jumping around a little bit as we wrap the show up, but I had a funny experience with one of my wedges not so long ago. My friend grabbed it out of the bag, and it just happened to be from the event we did earlier this year, and it got all the cool stamping. So I got the scripted BV all over it. It was my 58, but it was also a tee grind, which he'd never seen before. And he said, "Do you mind if I hit your wedge?" I'm like, "Of course I don't mind if you hit my wedge." And he goes to hit, he goes, "Is this really four degrees of bounce?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what it says on the club." He's like, "I love this." Like that exploratory opportunity, you see it based on the way it looks, you grab it, you hit it, and suddenly it's like, oh, there's like a real conversation to be had here. I think that's one of my favorite experiences, especially when it's coming out of my bag or I hit it out of someone else's bag. I love to understand, why do you have it? Where did it come from? And exactly. What's your story about it? Like that to me is golf.
Yeah. We say that a lot. I love that, Dan. And you know, you historically see what's in the bag, and we always reframe it to why it's in the bag. And that, because those stories, as you mentioned, they're gold. It's always mm-hmm. fun to hear. And you know, there's so many, think of that player. He hits yours, you gave him the reassurance at a time of like, you'll be fine. I know it says four degrees of bounce. Let's just try it. You know, have fun with this. But if he was just in a retail space and not, you know, in a demo space, they have an opportunity to hit it, that 4 degrees might be the difference of him saying like, I don't know. It's like Goldilocks. So this one's too hot. This one's too cold. I'll just take this one in the middle.
Yeah, so he actually, I was messing around with him. Do you remember last year I got fit into K-Star, which is a pretty wild one, but it was SM10. So I said, hey, I've got another wedge I'll bring for you to try tomorrow. It's really interesting. It's called K-Star. And he, of course, goes home that night and does all this research and comes back the next day. And he goes, I don't want to hit that. It's got too much bounce. I said, which one? He goes, the K. And I said, no. K-Star. He's like, what do you mean? So K-Star has six. I don't know what original K, but it's quite a bit more. I said, just try it.
K had 14. Then we
I knew it was high.
12.
Yeah.
Because it you know, it's an incredible bunker club, and it gives you not only that wide sole for forgiveness, but a lot of bounce. And as you know, Bob Vokey, who, by the way, shout out, it's Bob's birthday tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yes. Our favorite other Canadian, Dan. Exactly. There you go. Is turning 87. So
no way.
Shout out to Bob. He's on an airplane tomorrow, heading back to Canada. He's going out to Prince Edward Island.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Which we non-Canadians were debating today whether or not that is one of the half-hour time zones. I can't remember my time zones in Canada.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't mess with that side of Canada. They're out of control over there.
Yeah. We were joking around. Like, it feels like Bob's flying to Norway tomorrow.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, JT, any other fun stuff you have to share with the group, or can I give you some time back in your day here?
I would just give you one more, which is we got some really cool stuff going on with Scotty Cameron right now. Man, the 9-2 is everywhere at this point. So that's the kind of the 9 shape that Cameron Young has lit up golf courses with a plumber's neck. And now you're starting to see these two new putters out there, a 3.2, which is this kind of neat little rounded mallet shape in a plumber's neck. Ludwig Oberg switched into that And he has had tremendous success with it. So look for that next week at the Open Championship. And then this new 12. So we've made a really stable, high MOI, pretty interesting shape. And one of the things we love about it, you've got this long, continuous front-to-back line on it and a real deep CG and a putter. And so I know that Ricky Fowler's messing with it. Lee Hodges just played great with it the other day. And so it's collecting quite a bit of interest and buzz. I think Lydia Ko actually shot 60 with it in her first round, something like that, something insane. And so I would say be on the lookout for these new Cameron putters. They're coming to market this month as well. But man, they're cool. So go into golf shops, mess around. And then, like we said before, go get fit. Go get fit for clubs. Have a blast. Thank you, Dan, for letting me come back on post 4th of July, America's birthday, your favorite holiday.
Yeah, man. I had a great time. I was rocking the red, white, and blue. I'm proud to be here too. Don't you worry about that.
What did you do for Canada Day?
Canada Day, I sat at home and worked and eventually watched a Blue Jays game. So everything you'd expect, yeah.
are there any like Canadian staples of food? You just like...
I'd say the most
maple syrup or
yeah, the two most common things Canada is known for are probably maple syrup and poutine.
Heck yeah, powerful combination.
But alcohol is usually what we're most proud of. So
we're all together. You got a great day.
Yeah, man, we'll crown royal to end the day for sure. All right, JT, thank you, man. I appreciate you as always.
Great to see you. Thank you, THPers. Wait, Dan, I forgot. I said a bunch of the guys were on the trip. I forgot to shout out a couple others. Awkward Silence was not awkward or silent. We had JW Smoove, the best fairway wood player that I've ever played with. Boy, he's got just terrific tempo, hits fairway wood so good. Patty Pearls and Raider Boost were both a ton of fun to play with as well. Just a great group. It always makes me feel so much, you know, so great to be part and around this community. You guys have got something special going on, and I can't wait to see who we meet on our next THP adventure.
I love it. Well, hey guys, if you're playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make sure to ask a question about a club that's in someone else's bag. It's always fun to hear their story about it, whether they're proud or whether they're a little bit ashamed. It's great. And definitely check out the new Titleist mini driver, the GTS 300, GT 300. Should be GTS, right?
GTS 300.
Yes, nailed it. All right, check it out. Let us know in the forum what you think about it. I'm interested, no doubt about it. They made it a little bigger. Lord knows we need the extra size. We'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hi, Jonah Zalesnik, Director of R&D at True Temper, filling in for Don Brown at Shaft University. Got a question about what is a flag, something that comes up a lot as engineers like myself talk about golf shaft and golf shaft design. So I just want to explain a little bit about what a flag is, why it's important, and what it does. So a flag is basically just a single unit of carbon fiber that goes into the design of a golf shaft. Where it's placed will control things like tip deflection, the EI profile, things like that. I've got one right here, actually. So this is a flag of unidirectional carbon fiber. In this particular case, this is a tip flag. So it would go approximately right here in the design as it gets rolled around. That's going to provide tip stiffness, durability, and make that ball flight launch a little bit lower, a little bit less spin. If we wanted to change that, we would potentially make this flag a little bit longer, move it to the butt, get a little bit more of a counterbalance, high CPM shaft that way. So with one little piece of carbon fiber like that, we can actually make a lot of adjustments on the design of the shaft.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.